Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, dear listener, and welcome to the final episode of this season of Owning It, the Anxiety Podcast. First of all, let me say I'm so sorry for the delay on getting this episode out to you guys. I hope I haven't left anybody hanging, but I have builders in at the moment doing some work on the house, and there is not a minute of the day that I can get silence enough to record and not have banging in the background, and that would be completely anxiety inducing as a listening experience. So I'm only getting a chance to do it now. In the evenings when they finish, I've just been so knackered and wanted to have a nap and eat and go to bed, which will make sense when you hear this episode. So I do apologise for only getting around to it now. I'm taking a little break after this episode, which is potentially more bad news, so that I can go and record some more episodes, hopefully with some very exciting guests and experts as always, and some solo episodes, and then come back to you with a really strong season three. The launch of season three will coincide with the launch of my third book, which I have just shared on Instagram, and I'm so excited. This was without a doubt the hardest challenge of my professional life so far. I was riddled with self-doubt throughout the experience, and I didn't think I'd get through it, but I did. And it's called Naked, 10 Truths to Change Your Life. And ironically, I felt very vulnerable writing the book, but the whole point of the book is to explore the power of vulnerability. And I'll tell you lots more about it in season three. But for now, it's available to pre-order. And I will share the link to pre-order it on the podcast notes. And as an author, it's just always so massively appreciated when anyone buys your book or pre-orders it in advance. So thank you in advance. And I hope that you're looking forward to it. I cannot wait to share it with you. And I cannot wait to tell you a little bit more about it. I can't believe also that I've already had 2 seasons of the series. I just had no idea it would go this far, or that I'd have this many listeners, or that you would tune in as often as you do and like message me saying, hey, when's the next episode? Like, I honestly thought at the beginning it was just me and my mom, my husband listening, which probably was. And, you know, you're not just listening passively, you're actually engaging with me, and you're messaging me, and you're giving me advice and feedback, and, you know, asking for certain topics to be explored. So it's just been amazing, and I can't thank you enough for the support and for the lovely comments and for the very kind reviews. And as for the few of you who've messaged me to say that my voice is too fast and anxiety inducing and not at all helpful for someone who's anxious, I do apologize for my Irish brogue. We do talk quite fast here, and I'm so passionate about what I'm talking about that I end up kind of getting carried away. But there is a function, I'm told, when you're listening to podcasts where you can slow things down just a slight bit. So if my speed is too much for you, but you do want to listen to the episodes, do check that out. For this last episode, it's just me. I'm just doing a solo episode, but there's a little baby in my belly. So I guess I can call him my guest this week. Obviously, it's a boy. And we found out at around 11 weeks after having done some prenatal screening tests where they are able to tell the gender based on something to do with blood and chromosomes. I don't know. But anyway, found out it was a boy and decided we would find out as soon as we could, because I just like knowing. I always feel more empowered knowing everything. And I think there's, well, for me anyway, pregnancy throws up enough surprises in experiences and how you'll feel from one day to the next that I was like, okay, no, I don't need that surprise either. I recently announced the pregnancy on Instagram, and for, it was so nice to just be able to share it and not have to pretend like I wasn't pregnant. And it was so, so nice to be on the receiving end of so many kind messages and well wishes from people who, like, I don't know at all, who just either listen to the series or are fans of the books or just follow me on Instagram, and just had such unbelievably kind, thoughtful, really genuine things to say. So yeah, that was so nice. And thank you if you were one of the people who reached out to me. Interestingly, before I had announced it, I noticed, I don't know if this was just me being aware of it, but I started to get a lot more listener and reader requests for me to look at pregnancy and anxiety for one episode. And of course, it wasn't something I could really touch on before I'd experienced it, because I wouldn't be able to shed any light on it. But now I'm 16 weeks now, so I definitely have some thoughts on the whole thing. I want to start with pre-pregnancy anxiety. So many questions that I've had since announcing my pregnancy are from people who are struggle with anxiety like me, who are just terrified to even try for a baby in the first place, in case the hormones involved with pregnancy would send them off into a spiral of anxiety that they wouldn't be able to control. This is such a valid fear, and I totally get it. And another fear people have is, you know, how will my anxiety be, you know, when I'm a parent? How will I be able to cope? How will I be able to be a parent, you know, to my child when I'm really struggling with anxiety myself? And again, completely valid fears when you're someone who's experiencing it. I think I probably felt more anxiety myself in those first few weeks when we were trying than I do now, or than I even did in the first few weeks of pregnancy. And I don't think that's unusual at all. I think if you think about it, it's pretty natural to feel overwhelmed, especially if you're an overthinker and you ponder on a lot of things and you don't just go with the flow, which, don't worry, neither do I. You've probably spent your whole adult life trying not to get pregnant, right? And suddenly you make this enormous shift in thinking and behaving where you're suddenly open to the idea. And that's huge. You know, I was talking to my friends who I'd said I had told that, you know, we were trying. And I was saying, I'm just really, it's like, it's kind of all consuming in my thoughts. And it wasn't so much a fear of what if this is difficult, or what if I struggle to get pregnant? It was just, I can't believe I'm actively participating in an activity that will lead to pregnancy when that's terrifying, you know? And I was feeling sick. I mean, like the first time we tried, we had stopped trying not to get pregnant, I was feeling sick as soon as like the following day. And of course that was just pure anxiety, because even if I was pregnant after the first time, you're not going to feel anything for a while, until 5 weeks was when I started to feel it. So yeah, that was just like anticipation and this major shift in thinking that brought about the first kind of wave of anxiety for me. But then it settled down and I was like, okay, then I was focused more on like, I hope this happens. And I have no problem sharing that. For us, it happened very quickly. It was only after our second month of trying that I found out I was pregnant. And I know people can experience massive anxiety surrounding fertility and the problems they might face. That's not something I experienced, and I'm really grateful and lucky for the experience that we had, and that we didn't face those difficulties. And I really, really empathize with people who do. And I'd say that's just a whole other layer of anxiety to contend with that I have not yet experienced myself. But by the time I was pregnant, I did have one freak out. And I, again, this is very normal, I think. I was literally shaking when I saw the test come up as positive, because even though we were trying, it was still a shock to my system that it happened that soon. And I just felt flooded in my body with physical, I guess, fight or flight response, where my body was like, no, this is such a scary thought, that I guess my body felt threatened. And I was thinking, oh my God, like, how is my body going to react to this? How am I going to cope when, what if I'm sick? Or, you know, all the usual thoughts of like, I'm such a sensitive person physically, and like, I react to loads of different kind of medications that make me feel sick. So how is a baby growing in my belly going to make me feel? And so much of that like projection forward and that anticipation was just fueling this roller coaster of fear for the day. And I had to just let those thoughts come and let them go and not try not to feel it, as I always am advocating that, you know, you don't try and squash down the feeling. You just let it happen, let it out. So I let myself freak out and I let my body express that mixture of, I guess, part excitement, part anxiety and just the newness of it. And then very quickly, you'll be surprised how much you can adapt to the idea of being pregnant. And then that pre-pregnancy, oh my God, what if I'm pregnant? What will this do? That simmers right down. Unfortunately, though, it did pop up again when the time came to experience morning sickness, which was about a week later. So I found out at week 4 and I started to feel very unwell on week 5, and that was Christmas week. And it was so grim. I was down in Dingle in County Kerry with my family and I just was like the worst person to be around. I was, oh my God, I looked like a corpse and I threw up my Christmas dinner while I managed to eat of it. And that was just, you could not pay me enough money to go back there. So I think when anxious people feel put off about getting pregnant, they are anxious about two things. So one is how they will cope with the pregnancy and how they will cope with being sick if that happens to be your fate, and how the pregnancy will impact on the very careful balance of hormones that through this series and through everything that else that we're doing, we try so hard to keep in check and to keep, you know, in a state of equilibrium so that we don't feel excessive anxiety. And then there's the anxiety again, that's again very natural around becoming a parent in general, and how you'd cope with that, and how you'd cope with the wave of anxiety when you've got a child to look after, when now without a child, you sometimes feel like you can't cope. The latter is something obviously I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't had a baby yet, so I can't really speak to that, but in conversations I have had with friends, I have found it reassuring that people who are like me in terms of anxiety, who've had babies, have told me that the one benefit about parenting those first few years, I guess, is that you're so wrapped up in the immediate looking after of your baby that you don't have, your brain doesn't have time to sit idle and start to ruminate on things and run away with you. That for me was reassuring, but at the same time, I also understand that when you're completely exhausted and sleep deprived and worn out in that first while, you're not firing on all cylinders. So your prefrontal cortex might not be as sharp as it normally is. So I don't know how I'm going to respond. I'm just going to hope that I can take each day as it comes and cross that bridge, you know, when I come to it, and I will absolutely share how I'm getting on in terms of anxiety when the baby comes. But for now, all I've experienced so far is a pregnancy. And the potential for sickness, as I said, was the biggest issue for me. Yeah, so it did hit me at 5 weeks and it hit me so hard. And I'm now at 16 weeks, going on 17, starting, I think, finally to come out of the woodwork and feel a little bit more human. And I think if you told me before I got pregnant that I would still feel that bad up until week 15 or so, I probably wouldn't have tried, because you know how much I fear throwing up and nausea. But now that I'm here, only now that I'm here, I can know that I've handled it. Not particularly well, but I have handled it. I think when we let our thoughts, our anxious thoughts, take over, we forget something that is so central to the human experience, and that would be our ability to adapt. We are so good at adapting to whatever situation we're in, no matter how difficult it is. And that's how we've progressed so far as a society, and it's the reason why we've survived this long. And when you're pregnant and you're feeling nauseous in that first trimester, it's horrible. It is not enjoyable. You cannot rationalize it, but you do adapt to it. You learn what makes you feel better and what makes you feel worse. You learn any sort of little coping mechanisms that make it easier for you, whether it's people were just telling me all the time to eat ginger nuts. It didn't really work for me. But for me, it was like never, ever allowing myself to be remotely empty in the tummy or be hungry and have snacks beside the bed all the time. And you find a routine that works for you, and you just remind yourself that even though it feels like it's not temporary, in the grand scheme of things, it is. And I think when you feel anxious about pregnancy or about becoming a parent in general, you're completely underestimating your ability to adapt. And the anxiety is wrapped up so much, as it always is, in anticipation and fear. But something I can only say now with certainty is that your ability to cope and handle it, whatever it is, whether it's a screaming baby when that time comes or a wave of pukiness when you're in the midst of the first trimester, your ability to cope with that is far greater than your fear of it leading up to it. Unfortunately, that's something that you can't convince your anxious brain of when you've yet to get there. You can only know it when you're right in the thick of it. And in terms of like the actual anxiety waves during those first few weeks of sickness, I can't really say that I was feeling anxious because I was too busy being sick. I didn't have the space in my head. You're just in survival coping mode, and it's not fun, but you're not panicking because you're actually in the midst of it. So panicking is all about anticipation. But when it's happening, you're doing it. And in a weird way, now that I'm coming out of it, I can say that I'm somewhat grateful for my experience so far, as hard as it's been. Now, I've not been like Kate Middleton level of sickness, but I was pretty bad, because I've come face to face with one of my greatest fears, and I've proven to myself that I can do it. I mean, I don't like it, it's not easy, but I can do it. And also, for what it's worth, if you're really afraid of vomiting, for me, the nausea is way worse than the vomiting. And now, having come through it, I would way rather throw up than have to feel nauseous for like 2 hours. Because with the vomiting, this is getting very graphic, but you get some relief at least. And the nausea waves last way longer, and it's just so debilitating. I mean, I can't even speak, or I can't even look at the TV or anything when I'm feeling that. I remember the other morning, I think it was about 2 weeks ago now, nausea hit me like a bat out of hell, and I thought, oh, here we go, I'm going to feel like this for the next few hours. But I threw up within a matter of minutes. Luckily, I was at home, managed to make it to the toilet, and just straight after I vomited, the doorbell rang, and that was my builders arriving for day one of their work. So that was fun. But even though it was quite a shock to my system, and here I was, oh my God, being confronted with one of my biggest fears, I was actually fine, because as soon as I got sick, I felt okay. And it's not like, the nausea is definitely worse, because the vomiting when you're pregnant, it's not like vomiting when you've got a bug or food poisoning. It's just a purge of having to get it up, but it's for me anyway, it's nowhere near as like violent as when it's a bug and there's actual poison in your stomach. You don't have the cramps or anything, you just have the nausea, and then the vomiting relieves the nausea, if that makes it any better for you.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
So I think now, because I've been confronted with it, I'm less afraid of the possibility of getting a tummy bug or something like that, because, you know, typically they last for like 24 hours or so, and they used to be my biggest fear of all, but like, I can handle 24 hours if I can handle this, you know? So maybe as well, another benefit of this is that it will make me less afraid of traveling, because as you know from my traveling anxiety episode, I would have always been afraid of being sick while being away, but I've confronted it so many times now that I'm familiar with it, and it's no longer remotely as scary as it once was. I guess it's like a really unenjoyable exposure therapy, which is just such a reliable way to confront your fears and get past them. And it's not something I would have volunteered myself for, but as a unfortunate part of pregnancy, now that I've come through it, I have had that exposure therapy and I am grateful for it. You couldn't pay me enough money to do it again. And I keep saying to Barry, we'll be one and done because I'm not going through this again. But I haven't gotten to the stage where I have the baby and I can have that perspective of, okay, this was completely worth it. Because I mean, when you're in the thick of it and you don't look pregnant and you don't feel pregnant, you're just feeling sick. It's hard to rationalize that with yourself and say, oh, you know, this is all for good reason. I mean, you know that it's a good thing that you're pregnant if that's what you want to happen in your life. At the time, for you, that's right. But that does not make the nausea any easier to contend with. It didn't for me anyway. So allow yourself to complain and to moan and to just wallow and feel like shit. Because for me, that was a part of the coping, was to be able to say to people, I feel like fucking shit. This is really not enjoyable. Rather than pressure yourself to be like, oh my God, this is an amazing miracle. Yes, it is. But it's really, really tough for women. So you do not have to be, you know, a beacon of rainbows and sunshine. I also want to talk about medication and pregnancy. So I had a lot of questions around when I got pregnant. People were saying, oh, did you come off your medication? What's the story with that? People are very, very keen to know that situation. I did not come off my medication before I conceived. So I'm on Prozac and I have been for a good few years. And I've had so many conversations with my doctor over the months leading up to getting pregnant when I figured it was on the cards for us. And I was very concerned with, you know, am I going to have to come off it if it's not safe? How will that impact me? How will I adjust? What if I completely spiral back to 2014 levels of anxiety? How in the name of God will I cope with being pregnant then? Thankfully, I didn't have to. Now, it's not the same for every medication, but with Prozac, there is absolutely no evidence to suggest that there's any risk to the baby or to me if I continue taking it. And actually, my GP said the worst thing I could have done was to pull myself off it abruptly when I find out that I'm pregnant and then have to deal with the fallout of that while at the same time dealing with the hormones that surge that are doubling every day in those first few weeks of pregnancy. When I found out I was pregnant, I brought it up again with my consultant in the hospital and he echoed what my GP had said. He had zero concerns. He said, stay on it throughout the pregnancy, stay on it after you have the baby. If it's working for you, that's great. Keep doing it. So that was a huge, huge comfort for me and that I didn't have to confront that mammoth change ahead of what was already going to be a pretty significant change physically. I think if you're concerned about medication and pregnancy, definitely talk to your GP about it and talk to them about it if you're in a position to do so in advance of trying for a baby. If you really feel the need to be on anti-anxiety medication, but the one you're on is maybe not so suitable for pregnancy, then you can talk to your doctor about slowly switching over to something that's a bit more suitable. Now, of course, I'm not qualified to give any advice on medication, but obviously I'm just saying if you're concerned, talk to your GP about it because it's something that they'll be able to guide you on and advise you on. But all I can do is share my experience. And on the topic of medication, I was really, really relieved and a lot less anxious about being sick when my consultant prescribed me a medicine called Caraban, which is an anti-sickness medication. My GP had been very wary of prescribing it in those, you know, when I first found out I was pregnant and I went down to the doctor and I was thinking, oh Jesus, you need to give me this medication now in case the worst happens. And there's definitely a reticence in healthcare professionals to put pregnant women on any medication they don't absolutely need to be on. But my consultant saw how sick I was in the following weeks and it wasn't really letting up and I wasn't able to really do anything. I wasn't able to go anywhere or get any work done, and that was really just, it was really affecting my life so much. But he said there was no risk at all. It's basically Caraban. I think it's just a mixture of an amino acid and vitamin B6. I'm not 100% sure in that, but that's what someone told me. And it would help to take the edge off the nausea and potentially stop the vomiting entirely. It definitely worked and I wasn't feeling fine, but I was nowhere near as bad as I had been beforehand. And I only had bouts, I think I started to kind of wean myself off it when I thought I was fine, and then that's when I got sick again. So I just went back on it, and I've just, to this day, I'm still just taking it in the mornings because I'm finding the mornings tough, but I'm not taking it any more than that. But it's no problem if you're sick right up until you give birth. I think it's totally fine to be on. Again, it's something that your consultant will talk to you about. But I think if you're really afraid about morning sickness, this option is there, and your consultant will more than likely suggest it if you're sick to the point that it's getting in the way of your day-to-day life. And I think now, had I known that going into pregnancy, I probably would have been a lot less anxious about the potential to be sick if I knew that there is options out there and there is help, there is things you can do if you want to go down that route. Something I've also found helpful in terms of not indulging the anxiety is to not get bogged down in pregnancy groups online or with pregnancy books. In the first few weeks, I was reading so much of the what to expect when you're expecting kind of content. And if you're anything like me, this isn't always the best idea, because if they're talking about symptoms to expect and you haven't got them, you just dread that you're going to get them eventually, or you worry that if you don't have them, this means something is wrong. So if you're feeling horrendous in week 5, you don't want to read about how awful you're going to feel in week 9. You just need to be in the moment that you're in, because when I was feeling so bad at week 5, and then I was like, look, panic Googling to think, you know, how when am I going to feel better? And I wasn't getting the answers I want. That was making my experience in the here and now so much worse. So you have to just take it day by day, hour by hour. Pregnancy has definitely so far been a major test of my patience, and I think I'm so used to jumping ahead and being solution focused and wishing my time away, but I've had to slow right down and go through every minute of it mindfully. And I think that's an experience as well that will stand to me long after pregnancy. And I've also noticed that even in terms of my patience outside of pregnancy with work stuff, you know, I always want everything to happen now, but I notice myself getting a little bit better at saying, okay, this is not the right time. I have to wait another week for this to happen. Even when it came to like sharing my book cover, I wanted to do it the minute that we had signed off on the cover and my publishers asked me to wait. And before I would have been like, just let me share it. But I just like, okay, you know, let it happen. And that sounds like a very simple example, but I just notice myself being a little bit more patient as time goes on, which is really obviously a very good skill to have. I've also really learned to connect with my breath, which is, again, a tool that we always have that's there. It's free of charge, but it's something we take massively for granted. So even if it's something as simple as just a deep inhale or a sigh, that has just helped to bring me right into my body and helped me to ride out those particularly bad nauseous waves. And now whenever I remind myself to take one deep breath, just, you know, one deep belly inhale through the nose to expand your tummy and then hold it for a second or two and then exhale through the mouth, I just feel instant calm, and I'm doing lots and lots more meditation and breathing exercises, and that helps with everything from nausea to getting to sleep to general relaxation. And I'm hopeful that that will stand to me when the time comes to get my mind ready for labour and my body ready. So I think I'm now starting to feel somewhat excited. I honestly have felt like shit the whole time, and that's okay. I mean, it's hard to feel excited when you feel sick all the time, and it's hard not to dwell on the negative. But before you know it, time moves on, and now, like, the first trimester is behind me, and the weeks are starting to go by really, really quickly. And from what I'm told, the second trimester is, you know, a lot better than the first. And then you get the noticeable bump, and you get to dress in the dungarees and, you know, not feel like a baby yourself or wearing them. And then you can plan the nursery and pick out cute little bits and bobs to make that feel even more real to you. And I think you can enjoy it all the more because you haven't been forcing yourself to be positive, and you haven't been forcing yourself not to feel anxious from the minute you find out you're pregnant. You haven't been forcing positivity through the really, really difficult shit parts, and now it feels genuine and you can actually enjoy it. I think if you're anxious about being a parent, again, like I said, it's not something I can comment on yet, but I think it's helpful to know that, consider the idea that your baby will be at such an advantage for the fact that they have a mom or a dad or both who have so much awareness of their mental health. And you'll be so well equipped to help your child deal with their little worries as they arise, because you understand what it feels like, and you're not going to make them feel stupid or silly for feeling scared or anxious, because you know well how an irrational fear can seem, but how it can really affect you. And you'll recognize worries that they have when they might not be able to recognize it in themselves, and you may be able to help them to address their concerns in a way that really helps to nip it in the bud and prevent it from becoming the kind of anxiety we've been dealing with that's been very deeply rooted. So I guess I'm saying this to myself as much as I am to anyone who's listening, but you're going to be a wonderful parent, anxious or not. You don't have to get rid of your anxiety to become pregnant, and you don't have to get rid of your anxiety to become a parent. Not at all. I mean, I'm doing it and I'm fine, and you will be too, and we'll tackle the anxiety post-pregnancy when the time comes. So that's it for me now for season 2. I hope you found the series helpful. Thank you so much for listening to this last episode. I'll be back with season 3 before you know it. And for those interested, I'm also producing a specific pregnancy podcast series that I will share shortly. So stay tuned for that and follow me on my Instagram page at Caroline Forens to make sure that you find out about that when it goes live. That will cover everything from fertility right through to labor. So a little bit more specific to pregnancy than this series, but I wanted to touch on anxiety and pregnancy here as well. Thank you so much for the support thus far. Thank you for buying and reading the books and for pre-ordering the new book if you've done so. And obviously thank you to those of you who support me over on patreon.com/Caroline Foran. So going forward, I guess my parting words would be to mind yourself, be compassionate with yourself, and remember that if self-compassion was a tablet that you could take every day, you absolutely would. It's that powerful, but it's already there within your power. And even though it might not always feel like you're owning it, I think by engaging with me and being interested to learn more and listening and reading and doing your research and putting into practice the exercises that we've covered, you are owning it every single day. Thank you so much.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The easiest way to access Owning It Real Time is to head to the link in the episode description or episode details, whatever you call them, show notes. You will find the link in there at the top. You can sign up right away for Owning It Real Time and access the full library of 10 situation-specific audio guides that will help you own your anxiety even more than you've ever done before.